time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Philippians chapter 4, we've been working through verses 8 and 9 this week, and there we read, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." What I want to do today is something a little different. It's helpful to show you when we come to a passage like this exactly what has happened in Christianity. In an effort to be non-offensive, remove the things that people don't like to hear, Christianity has stripped Christ's message down to a list of do's and don'ts, down to mere ethics. And a distortion of Christianity's central message has been enormous. And I've worked through this week saying to you, look, biblical morality is inseparable. Now hear this, biblical morality, and what we just read there in Philippians chapter 4, is inseparable from the biblical doctrines of sin and grace and the absolute necessity of God's divine mercy. So we can't separate what is being commanded here in thinking these high thoughts, as Paul calls us to think, with the perspective about our position in Jesus Christ that Paul has been expounding throughout the whole book. It'd be easy to separate and isolate this passage out without reading it in context. In other words, we can't separate calls to do this with the calls that Paul previously gave, "Rejoice in the Lord, again will I say rejoice," that flowed from an understanding of his right position in Jesus Christ. But my friends, this happens all the time. I really want to challenge you today to be discerning, because I'm absolutely convinced that the subtleties of what goes on in many Christian pulpits today is so deceptive that I've been absolutely amazed that someone can sit and hear one sermon that preaches Christ and Him crucified and head off to another church that doesn't preach Jesus at all and is preaching sheer moralism and sees absolutely nothing different. Because of the lack of discernment, they're not able to make a distinction. And here today is your test of discernment. A text like what is before you today could be preached in many numerous different and different ways. Let me show you. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." That could be preached in a number of different ways. The first approach you could say is by the sentimentalist. The sentimentalist approach is to read this text and get caught up in sort of gushy thoughts. "Wow, that's beautiful. That's a verse to post on my wall." And of course, that's not a bad thing. But that's a verse to post on my wall. That's a verse to go to when things get hard. And you see, what happens often is that the person's feelings have become divorced from the passage and its context and its meaning. The feelings have divorced the passage itself from the context. And you see, this happens all the time around Christmas or around Easter and other days where people, because of the sentimentalism, are more tied to the idea and more feeling is given to the concept of it rather than to the meaning. The second common approach is the legalist approach. They'll read a passage like Philippians 4, 8, 9, and they'll say, "This is a condition of your salvation." Now, they won't say that directly, but often people will take this passage and like this and make them additions to the gospel. "This must be done because then you're really pleasing to the Lord." And this goes on all the time with Bible interpretation, when people are made to feel that if this particular thing is lacking or this thing is not being done, then one can't be saved. And thus, what we've done is sort of suspend over the gospel an extra addition for salvation. Now the third today, and the most common, is the moralist approach to a passage like this. The moralist says, look, you must take all these virtues, let your mind be filled with them. And as you do this, you will really begin to attain to the life that God really wants you to have. So this is the think positive approach. This is how you reach your full potential. And here are the steps to do this. Have you just had a bad day? You got to be like Pete. Or you got to be like this. Or you got to be like that. And you just don't know what God's doing, don't you? Well, don't let your negative thoughts tear you down. Think upon the positive. I quote for you the pastor of the Lakewood Church, the largest church in the U.S. on this very verse. Think on things that build you up and not on things that tear you down. But it's a choice you have to make, because society in general is very negative. Society will tell you what's wrong, not what's right, what's ugly, not what's beautiful, what you don't have, not what you do have. His answer? Don't focus on the negative, but focus on the positive. I remember seeing Joel Osteen, and I remember seeing him on the O'Reilly Factor with Bill O'Reilly, and O'Reilly asked him, well, don't you think people are going to hell? What about sin? Osteen said right in front of everyone, Bill, we don't talk about those things. They tear you down. My ministry is positive. Now, Joel Osteen is just the ringleader of a huge problem that I have seen this stuff. It's going on all over the place, and many of you are probably exposed to this on a constant basis. I've seen this stuff on church signs, even here in town. Do these days of purpose. Do these things to be happy. And now, when scripture is interpreted by the moralist, a terribly dangerous thing happens. Now listen to this. Here's where we really have to be discerning. In an attempt to tell people how to live the Christian life, we divorce the application from the central purpose of the Bible and its address to weary sinners. And so in this scenario, when we look at Philippians 4, 8, and 9, the positive message, of course, that people are trying to build up people with, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, meditate on these things. What would undermine a calling like that, the positive calling? Well, what would it have to be? Things that would undermine that are other biblical doctrines that aren't so, quote, positive. Sin, judgment, hell. And so there's no stress of repentance for sin. Sin in our culture today has been redefined as just sort of negative thinking. There's no need for conversion, of course, because we essentially are good people who have our priorities wrong. And worst of all, there's no need for Jesus Christ to save us because the message is appealing to people to build up their own self-esteem and do it themselves. So these crucial doctrines that are just integral to a changed life are left out of the message. And the whole thing, at the end of the day, becomes putting people back under the law of death. A false hope, because what you've done is sent people away in pride, thinking that they can get their life together by these techniques, or these steps, or these methods. My friends, all of this is Satan's intrusion into the church. We have to be discerning. Paul's not just saying, fill your minds with all these good thoughts, as if somehow transcend your mind above all your trials and all of your struggles. That is essentially what many Christians are trying to do today with this think positive and positive approach to the Bible. That's what the Greeks did. Bring the mind into subjection by placing it above anything that belongs to the realm of the physical. Elevate the mind. But what has Paul been saying throughout this whole book, my friends? The whole book of Ephesians has presented to us that God is the one totally in control of circumstance. And has Paul lived in some sort of denial about what he was facing as a negative thing in life? I mean, the reality of Paul's life is what? He's in prison when he's writing this letter. He may die. Is Paul telling the Philippians who are suffering, look, just don't think about it? It's negative. That's a negative thought, and that's going to tear you down. Should you today who are feeling pain and who are suffering, anyone out here is listening to this broadcast, through the sufferings that are reality in this life, just sit back and take your mind off into la-la land, not thinking about it? And doesn't that become denial? Denial is one of the worst things you can do to help a problem. Paul has been telling these Philippians not to run around their trials and their problems, but to strain forward through them. He's been saying you have this upward calling of God in Christ. So through the trial, recognize that you are in Jesus Christ and that whether you live or die, you belong to Him. And so verses 8 and 9, my friends, become the answer to their struggles. If they are in Christ and have been apprehended by Jesus, then the gospel has come to them. And it's not said, oh, just forget about what you're facing and think upon good things. Rather, what Paul is doing, my friends, is addressing their wrong thinking. They have not had the mind of Christ. They have not shared Paul's perspective of their sufferings and that he has presented throughout the whole book, saying, look, you are to have this life of joy and this life of peace, regardless of circumstance. Look, by your very nature as Christians, you are partakers in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Therefore, your thinking must be completely subjugated, not to sort of high thoughts and karma, like the Buddhists would say, but they must be subjugated to this. You must be controlled by the truth. You must be controlled by the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done. So then, my friends, statements, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, all of these become a summary statement for saying, live to what conforms to the truth of Jesus Christ and his gospel, to the truth that Jesus Christ has loved you and given himself for you. That is what the gospel brings. That perspective changes your life. Does death produce a sting? Well then, let's say I have a sick or dying loved one, and I'm still for years maybe mourning the death of a loved one. I must think upon the fact then that Christ has overcome death. That is the truth. The devil has told me a lie about death, but the truth is that Christ has defeated this foe and has set me free from the law of sin and death. Is my present distress telling me a different story? Does it make me question Christ's love for me? I must see Christ going to the cross to save me as a weary sinner. Those thoughts change the way I live. And so all of our application and sanctification must be gospel-driven, and that only comes through a right understanding of Jesus Christ and Him crucified penetrating the heart and the mind. This Sunday at the Linden URC, we promise you we will open the Word of God and proclaim to you the one message that is able to save sinners from death, Jesus Christ. Join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 318-0429 is the phone number. www.lindenurc.com is the web address. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.